This is The Source on KSTX. I'm David Martin Davies. Most people will agree that the American healthcare system has some deep and troubling flaws. Costs continue to rise beyond inflation. Outcomes are inconsistent based on geography and income inequality. And talk to a doctor and you're going to get an earful. Surveys tell us that a third of doctors are suffering from burnout and 3 out of 4 predict a negative future for their profession. Something has gone wrong in the world of medicine, but who can fix it? How about the doctors themselves? That's the solution put forth in the book, The Doctor Crisis, How Physicians Can and Must Lead the Way to Better Health Care. We invite your phone calls if you're a doctor. What do you think about the state of the doctor? And do you feel the walls closing in with burnout? If you're a patient, do you think that doctors really aren't putting your health care first? Give us a call. The number is 210-614-8980, and you can also email your questions and comments to thesource@tpr.org. Our guest is the author of the book, The Doctor Crisis, Dr. Jack Cochran, also executive director of the Permanente Federation, part of the Kaiser Permanente Medical Group. And Dr. Jack, welcome to The Source.
Thank you. Good to be here.
So you call it the doctor crisis. Why isn't this a patient crisis?
Well, I think it is definitely a patient crisis and a doctor crisis as well. The purpose of this book is to try to focus where we can target some improvements that are going to have high leverage, because the role of patient is an involuntary state. Nobody's sitting out there waiting to become a patient because they haven't been one for a while. On the other hand, the role of physician is a highly voluntary state. We have spent a lot of time, energy, effort to get trained, to get certified, to get capable. And so the physicians are central in this in so many ways. And physicians are not more important than nurses or pharmacists or business people or any of the other people working in healthcare. But we do have disproportionate impact on what happens in healthcare to patients, to nurses, et cetera. So my targeting of physicians is because of this disproportionate impact, which is clearly an issue at the same time that the physicians in many places are less happy and less career satisfied. You know, the Accountable Care Act, one of the things that they talk about, or the Affordable Care Act, is the Accountable Care Organization. And I would say organizations have trouble being accountable without having really accountable professionals that are leading them. And so that's the dichotomy. How do we take this very important asset in healthcare called the physician and our careers and to try to optimize it so that we can then be more fully responsive, responsible, and accountable to the needs of patients and communities?
$3 trillion a year is spent on healthcare in the United States, and you say it's been shown that $1 trillion of that is wasted and that the average cost of healthcare for an American family exceeds $20,000 per year, and that's the real cost, not the stuff that the stuff that's picked up by your insurance and your employer. So there's a lot of money out there flowing around. Is this it's not going to the right places?
Well, your numbers are very, very accurate and would be confirmed by many. The amount of waste I've heard varies from 700 billion up to a trillion, but the overall spending is around 3 trillion, which is a big part of the American economy. It's a big part of the American dream, frankly, that's being spent on healthcare. And much of it is being spent for tremendous, impactful, excellent care and cures and improvements and breakthroughs in technology and science, and really some miraculous things are going on in healthcare. And at the same time, with these excellent results, we have to ask ourselves, is excellent good enough? Because we still have unevenness, we still have access issues, we still have patients who are having trouble getting into our systems. And so the new legislation is important. It's a step. It's a start. It's not the final pathway. You know, when you have something as complex as a $3 trillion multi-industry like healthcare, you're not going to legislate your way out of it. You're not going to treat your way out of it. You have to learn your way out of it. And so how do we become a true learning industry with professionals like physicians, like nurses, like pharmacists, et cetera, highly engaged, working together to try to find the breakthroughs so that we can not only keep all the miracles that patients need, they want and they deserve, and make sure that we also create an affordability equation for more and more Americans and American families.
So you want doctors to lead as individually, as the way that they conduct their own private practice, or do they come together and try to form groups and come up with the best practices? What are we talking about?
Excellent question. You're very well prepared. I would say, first of all, as physicians, we take an oath. We take an oath which is about our responsiveness and responsibility to our patients. So my view, we need to lead in every place that we are, wherever we're standing, whether it is in a boardroom where we're talking as an executive or leader, whether it's in an exam room, an operating room, an emergency room. We are leading healthcare by our standards, by our performance, by our personal management of ourselves, by our language. And so I think physicians need to be cognizant of the fact that we have a leadership position because of our responsibility to patients wherever we are. However, in the small individual practice, which is the roots of many of us, many physicians came from small 1 to 3 to 4 doctor practices, it's a tough place to exert a lot of influence. And so what I decided to do 10 years into my career was to leave that small 4-doctor group, which I loved. I loved the people. I loved the doctors I worked with, et cetera. But what I saw then was, as the managed care movement was moving forward in the 90s, that it might be better to be in more of a group practice where you could have some sense of impact and governance and the ability to actually have a voice that could be patient-centered and could have a chance to actually impact healthcare. So physicians should lead wherever they are. I do think that when we choose to aggregate, especially if we aggregate around a heavy dose of it's about the patient, then I think we have a different voice and a voice that people should participate with and listen to.
You write in a book that the American dream is under siege and that healthcare is the leading barbarian at the gate, that this is something that is a crucial part of our economy, and that if we don't rein it in, that all sectors stand to suffer.
Correct.
So, I mean, that's but the stakes are high.
I'm sorry?
So the stakes are very high.
Stakes are very high. And the stakes are very personal, very personal. So 7 years ago, my life changed because I became a grandfather. And it started to put in perspective for me, what kind of an ancestor am I going to be? What kind of a legacy am I going to leave behind for my son, grandson, and other children? The issue is this. When I started out in the practice of surgery, healthcare was 10% of GDP. Today, it's around 18% of GDP, so I've been part of that. I don't believe I've been the problem and the worst problem by any means, but I have been fully engaged in the delivery and the practice of medicine during that almost 30 years. So I'm an 18%er, and I have personally prospered. I'm a physician. I'm a surgeon. I have an executive role. I have personally prospered. My American dream looks really pretty good to me right now. What is the American dream going to look like for my son, for my grandson, who are both also hardworking, good people? And so I think that's a context. I think that's a perspective that none of us should lose track of.
Let's get a quick break here. Dr. Jack Corcoran, he is the author of the book, The Doctor Crisis. When we come back from this break, we'll take your phone calls. Number is 210-614-8980. You're listening to The Source on KSTX. I'm David Martin Davies. Despite doing their best to provide high-quality care, doctors struggle with various types of organizational, financial, and governmental red tape, often result in hurting healthcare outcomes. This is what Dr. Jack Corcoran refers to as the doctor crisis. In his new book, he shows that there is a high degree of job dissatisfaction and burnout among U.S. physicians, despite the importance of what they do and the high respect and material compensation that they receive from society. The doctors are troubled because they're unable to put their patients first. What do you think about that? We invite your phone calls. Number is 210-614-8980. You can also email us at thesource@tpr.org. Let's get Hugh in on the conversation. Hugh's called in. Hugh, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Yeah, when I go to my internist, she's got 9 minutes, 2 complaints maximum. When I go to a specialist, they have the time that they need. So I have to keep unloading anything I want off my internist to the specialist, whether it needs a specialist or not, increasing the cost.
All right, Hugh. And how's that working out for you?
Not well. I have some things that I've never been able to get to because they're number three.
Okay. All right. We'll see what Dr. Jack Corcoran has to say about that. Dr. Jack, what do you think about Hugh's observation?
I think it's absolute Hugh's reality, and it's the reality of many people experiencing the American healthcare system. One of the things that we have to get grounded in is that around the world, primary care, such as internists, family doctors, pediatricians, et cetera, the percentage of primary care is very important to the overall health of the economy so that people like you have the time and the access for their primary care physician to listen, to process, and to support the necessary lifestyle improvements as well as therapeutics. The issue is that healthcare has become much more complex. Over the days since the family doctor was the source of all healthcare interchange, you went to your doctor, he or she answered your questions, and you got the care there, things have gotten much more complex. Diagnostics have gone from simple x-rays to CAT scans to MRIs to PET scans, et cetera. Same with therapeutics. So much more complexity of knowledge, also coming in from more journals, more places from patients, et cetera. It has become increasingly difficult for a primary care physician as a sole source of that to be the center of it. What we say in the book is that the information age of healthcare moves the center to the patient, and the patient has to be partnered with a strong primary care physician who has a good IT system and electronic health record so that she can be connected to the specialist, to the physician, to the doctor, to the patients, and there's a continuous sharing of information. We see that inside systems of cares like Kaiser Permanente, and it's very encouraging because it makes primary care a more satisfactory, more sustainable, more desirable field. Remember, there's two premises here. I talk about preservation, enhancement of a career. It's not a given. We have to look at the practice of medicine, respond to it by saying, what is it going to make it more desirable for people? There's several things we talk about in the book. And then we turn around and we say to physicians, remember that 20-year-old idealist that always dreamed of becoming a healer when we were trying to get to medical school? Today, we're now specialists, we're primary care, we're all kinds of things, but underneath that, there are three roles that I posit we have to accept: the role of healer, leader, and partner. And the physician as healer doesn't take any extra time. It simply recognizes that to the patient it's a very complex, very uncertain experience, and that needs to be met with the kind of healing and empathy that physicians can impart and should impart as part of their natural point of view. Physician as leader has to get off the sidelines of healthcare, has to, whether it's involved in organizations like Kaiser Permanente or physician organizations, to try to create better policy, better rules, better access, better quality improvement. We should be measuring quality. We should be improving quality. And physician as partner says the complexity of healthcare is too great for it to be an individual sport. It has to be a team. And so that primary care practice would ideally be part of a primary care group in a system with good nursing help, with good IT systems, with clinical pharmacy in close proximity, so that all the issues of complexity and managing difficult patients can be carried out by a team with good information in front of them so that the physician can have that precious time with the patient to really understand, to really listen, and to get that kind of personalized care. It is not seen in a lot of places, but it is absolutely seen in many places today, and it's getting better in some places. We just need to get it moving faster.
Back to the phones. Don has called in. Don, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Thank you for taking my call. Sir, the reason I wanted to telephone in was I heard you use the phrase Dr. Burnout, and 4 years ago I sustained an injury through work, and it was a good several-year process of getting it diagnosed to be eventually treated, but the entire time I felt like I was fighting uphill because I was dealing with a PA who had a doctor signing off on his orders, and they said, it's a sprain, you're fine. It ended up being an inguinal canal hernia that I had to do all the research myself. And even at that point, I was having to argue and fight for tests and argue and fight for, you know, a pelvic MRI. And I ended up paying for a colonoscopy out of my own pocket to prove that it wasn't diverticulosis. And at times it felt sort of like, you know, I wonder how many cases that doctors in that position, if they're handling workman's comp situations, how many, I don't know, false claims or erroneous claims they get faced with, and then when something comes along that isn't just a simple, you know, broken arm or broken leg, and they decide it's a strain, and no treatments work, and it's the patient that ends up having to do pretty much the diagnosis, because an injury like that, it turns out, is a diagnosis by exclusion. you know, rule everything else out, then it must be this.
Okay, Don. Let's get Dr. Jack Harker to respond to that. Dr. Jack?
Yeah, thank you. Well, you have had an experience which is not uncommon, and we all wish that everything went well early on, first time, et cetera, and obviously it doesn't. There is a lot of complexity in healthcare, and that's not an excuse, it's just a fact. Patients do need to be in the center of it in the sense that you need to continue to be involved and continue to be asking those questions, et cetera. But I believe that physicians need to embrace this notion of leadership, so we should be in systems where we measure quality. We measure what is done. We measure what the outcomes are so that we can say, what's the best way to get these things better the next time? What is the process that we can improve? What are the ways that we can make this person's throughput better, get them to the right physician or physician extender at the right point in time? It never eliminates the fact that the human beings still have to make judgments, and not every judgment ends up being exactly right. But it does say if we embrace a culture that has information in it, and this is where electronic health records are so important. It's where physician leadership is so important. We need to have information 7x24 available wherever the patient is, wherever the physician is. That's a system that's available many places in this country, but not every place. And then you have to measure the outcomes. And when something doesn't turn out the way it is, we need to recognize it, we need to deal with it, and we need to improve it.
What about holding doctors accountable? You write about firing doctors when you did in your book, and you talk about ending Lake Wobegon evaluations, where everyone is above average.
Well, those, my view, those aren't evaluations. I think that the issue that I am trying to push is that nobody should care more about the well-being and the safety and the quality experience of patients than physicians. And as such, we need to embrace a full position of patient advocacy. And part of that is to measure ourselves, measure our colleagues, and say, what are the results we expect and what are the results that we're getting? We should have, this is not a book or a theme around protecting doctors who are not doing their jobs. This is about saying, let's give them a clearer pathway to practice in ways that are going to express and reinvigorate that inner idealist and provide the science and provide the data through computers and teams so that physicians can do their work well. This is not something that says let's go out and protect doctors from the world. This is to protect patients by making physicians' careers more sustainable, more desirable, better supported, and to have the use of information in the hands of people.
All right, back to the phones. Tanner has called in. Tanner, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Yes, I was wondering if you had any practical steps that could be taken to help control costs, because it seems like our present system that we have favors cost-cutting by cutting the amount of money that providers are reimbursed while favoring, insurance expenditures on private rooms and, enhancing the quote-unquote customer experience of healthcare.
All right, Tanner, thanks for that call. And so Dr. Jack Cochran?
Yes. So first of all, I think that the waste in healthcare needs to be looked at with a very honest eye. And so simply trying to cut your way to a new level of prosperity probably is a short-term solution. What do we look at where there is true waste? Overuse, underuse, misuse, error, et cetera. And that's where we find the most opportunities. Believe it or not, if you're really trying to lead healthcare, you should be cognizant of overutilization, certain things that have low value that are done, but you need to be also very aware of underutilization, where patients absolutely need to get a therapy or they're not going to get well, they're going to get worse, et cetera. And so we should be leading this from a point of view of what's the best treatment. The highest quality in the long run should have the best cost. Maybe not the lowest cost that you want, but the best cost that's available. If we could eliminate waste, we would have a new baseline from which to say, this is what the healthcare really costs and how does it fit in with the general economy, et cetera. But I think waste is something that should be looked at from a very, very data-driven eye of what's the right thing to do and what's the right way to do it. Right care by the right person at the right time in the right venue. And that's not done universally. That's why organizations like Kaiser Permanente have developed systems of care with clinical leadership that measure results and say, this series of steps leads to this result, this series of steps leads to that result. There's a learning opportunity. So it's not, you can't cut your way to prosperity. And if you're cutting unit costs and you can still make it up by volume of units, then you've ended up with a neutral situation and more care whether or not it's fully warranted or not.
And how does that change doctors and their problems with burnout? And does it give them more a feeling of more control over the care that they provide?
I think that what I see is that physicians who have developed within their own practice or are working in a system where there's a sense that they are respected, where their work life and work day is considered a significant issue and a significant asset, and we're surrounding them with teams and IT systems, et cetera, they can feel that they're getting through their day. They're proud of the work because they know that it's safe. I've had primary care physicians who left the fee-for-service world and came to work for us, and over time they said, actually, one of the things that is most satisfying for me is I feel much more confident in my day because I'm surrounded by these great teams and the information is available in the computer, not scurrying around my office trying to find a chart.
And you point out in the book that when doctors do feel burnout and other issues, pessimistic about the future, that they're more likely to commit medical errors. So this is not just about making doctors feel good. This is about improving quality of care for each and every individual.
Yeah, I mean, physicians are human. They take on tremendous responsibility for the well-being of people. None of us take that flippantly. All of us would like to have good results every day. You know, we are like everybody in the world. We're all different, and some of us are maybe more bothered by things than others. Some are less troubled by what's going on around us. But I think physicians in general have got this tremendous responsibility, and the question is, how do we take that to great responsibility and accept the accountability for it? And then how do we create systems that are going to make physicians say, not only do I want to do this, I want my grandson to do this. I want my granddaughter to do this. Those are the kinds of things that I think are the outcomes. If we start thinking together and working together, we can say, how do we get this better so that we have physicians who are fully engaged, have vibrant, relevant careers, and are solving more problems for patients.
Dr. Jack Cochran, he is the author of the book, The Doctor Crisis, How Physicians Can and Must Lead the Way to Better Healthcare. Thanks for joining us on The Source, Dr. Jack.